Empower Radio presents Out of the Fog. Join intuitive guide and spiritual teacher Karen Hager for lively, positive conversation with light workers, healers, and dynamic wisdom keepers. Get ready for inspiration and connection. This is Out of the Fog on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Karen Hager.
Hello and welcome to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager. Each week at this time, we gather for spiritual conversation with enlightening guests, and I'm glad you're here. Have you ever found yourself sitting at your desk and thinking, I could just get up and walk out of here? What would happen if I just got up, pushed my desk chair in, and started a whole new life? I turn it all upside down. Well, you're about to meet somebody who did just that. Ellen Atkins left a comfortable job to leap into the unknown, and she created a company focusing on positivity, even though she had no prior experience in art or in creating products. She's here to share her story and to inspire you to create your own magical life. Are you ready to meet her? Ellen Atkins was a CPA in the corporate world, leading a normal life, but she knew there was more. There had to be more. When Ellen surrendered to stillness, something magical happened. She turned her perfect life upside down and stepped onto a new path of positivity and abundance. And you can find out more about Ellen and her work. Look at what she built at thesuburbanmonk.com. Ellen, welcome to Out of the Fog.
Thank you, Karen. It's great to be here.
So what is it that led you, what finally got you to that place where you said, I quit.
Yeah, I have had a great life. I had this 30-year career as a CPA. I lived in the corporate world. The day went really fast. They made great money. We were raising our three sons, good marriage, everything. Even that cute dog. And there was just always this feeling that maybe there was more I could do, because I could do that with my eyes closed. I had done it for so long, but I wasn't really unhappy, but there was this feeling. And then I remember thinking, I don't want to get to the end of my life and feel like I never had the courage to see what else was out there. But I now see that it was that my soul wasn't growing anymore. Then I did not use words like soul or energy, or that's my whole life now. But when I look back, because at the time there was nothing logical about it, but there was just this really strong feeling. And now I can put more words to it and say, you know, I just had done that for so long and my soul wanted to grow more. So I did. We dropped our oldest son at college, and the next day I said, this was my last day. And, you know, I had been talking about it with my boss, and she kept saying, you can't quit. You don't know what you're going to do. But I knew I'm just the type of person that as long until I actually quit with no idea what I was going to do, it wasn't going to come to me. So, yeah.
So when you left, you had absolutely no idea what it was going to be.
I had no idea. And I remember having a talk with my boss, and she said, you can't, if you don't know what you're going to do, you can't quit. She's like, just don't be so compulsive. Just work from home, work as much as you want. And I could have, but I thought, it took so much courage and I was so scared that I said, okay. And I tried that, but in the blink of an eye, 2 years went by. Yeah. And I was, no, clearly that didn't work. That I just had to quit. Yeah, I had literally, if somebody had told me, oh, don't worry, like you're going to quit and you're going to create this magical statue, which just cracked me up, because I am the type of person that never had one art class. Maybe I had homemaking in high school. Am I dating myself? I don't know. But like, if someone had told me that, I would have been like, okay, I don't know what you've been drinking, but yeah, I know, like literally no idea.
So, and you're not dating yourself, at least with me, because the only reason I can make easy Panucci frosting is because of Mrs. Disbro in my home ec class. Back in the day, I don't want to say when that was. We did take horse-drawn carriages to school, but I don't want to go any further back than that. I've read somewhere that you said you realized you could no longer outrun your happiness. And so you started to look for the things that made you happy. I often talk to people who say, I don't remember what it's like to be happy. I don't know what makes me happy. So how did you find out what made you happy?
Yeah, well, so it was interesting because when I quit and then I got up in the morning and I was like, oh, well, what am I going to do now? And then that was a period of feeling really lost. Because I was so used to, you know, I had this full-time career and raising three kids and all the things that go with that. And so people would say, well, you know, why don't you go away? Like, what do you like to do? What makes you happy? And I couldn't think of what made me happy. Now, of course, my family, you know, we're putting all that aside. But like really for my personal self, like if you were to ask my husband, he'd be like, oh, I'll go play golf. Well, I didn't like golf, or I'll go, like, at that point in time, like, now, there's so many things that my life is so expansive. I could be away every weekend. But at that moment, it was a really strange feeling to, like, think, I really don't know, like, where I would go. So I didn't want to go to, like, we have, I'm on the East Coast, like, a canyon ranch, or I didn't want to go to one of these spas. And then somebody said to me, so that in itself, not knowing what really made you happy, what really made me pause. But then I did go to, someone said, you know, there's a place called Omega and they're having their annual conference in New York City. I'm right outside of New York City. And, you know, why don't you try something like that? They have all these different speakers. And I thought, well, it's in a hotel. And like the worst thing that could happen is I hate it. And I just order room service. I'm like, it's a win-win because, you know, I'll just be in the hotel and go shopping. But that is actually when this whole metaphysical world, the world of energy, and just all these people I never heard about, that's when it all started to open up. And I was like, wow, who knew? Who knew names like Marianne Williamson or Michael Beckwith or just a whole slew of people? And I was like, wow, this is really cool. So I didn't have to go shopping. I probably still ordered service though.
Oh, I like you very much. Well, and sometimes it's the acquisition of stuff doesn't make us happy. It's more about opening up to kind of grasp new concepts. You know, when you make a big change like that, you're stepping out of a way of, you have one way of looking at things. This is what my life is like. This is how I take care of my kids. This is what I do for my job. And when you make a big change like that, it's like getting a new prescription for your glasses. The things are still around you and they're still that same, but everything looks different. And it sounds to me like that's kind of what Omega did for you.
Yeah. Well, it was a few things. That was like, wow, my whole world just opened up because I felt, I was just amazed at one session after another. And I also started meditating. I tried yoga. I was like, okay, people go to yoga. But then that was really hard. And so I decided to take a private lesson and I ended up in something called Kundalini, which is now like a huge part of my life. But so I would try different things. I read everything on, I would just read. I cleared out the Xbox room that my kids had and I bought them the meditation cushion and I like made a little altar and I was like reading everything. And I stepped back for a while from like my book groups and all my friends because it was almost like an internal process. Like I was becoming laser focused on anything that felt joyful in my body. And it was funny because we had, I had a holiday here, and my niece came over, and I, like anything, like a color in a magazine, I would just pull it out, or a quote, and I would scotch tape anything that brought me joy all over. My niece came, and she's like, you know, Auntie Ellen, there's something called Pinterest. Oh, okay, well, I don't know. I guess it was, you know, I didn't know about Pinterest, so I just had, you looked everywhere, and I just had anything that brought me joy. So there was a lot going on then. I, from feeling lost, like, okay, like, how am I going to create this new life that feels really joyful? I, you know, had to get really laser focused on anything that I would just look at, and it would shift my energy. Then going to Omega, there were all these really cool people that I was so interested in. And then I did start meditating. I remember, you know, like getting to a minute was like a really big thing for me. And then just like books would appear and fall off a shelf, and I just started collecting all these books and reading them. Yeah, and what I didn't know, I really didn't know if I was creating a new life that would give me a lot of joy. But when I look back, I see, you know, like all the puzzle pieces were being formed.
You're listening to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager, and my guest is Ellen Atkins. She is the founder of The Suburban Monk, and you can find out more about Ellen and her work at thesuburbanmonk.com. So what gave you the idea to create The Suburban Monk? What came first?
So this is really funny. You know, being the accountant, and, you know, I was type A, five planets in Virgo. I had an Excel sheet for like Hebrew school carpool, like who drove, who got snacks on what snack on what day. Oh my God. And so you can only imagine. So in meditation, the name The Suburban Monk came to me. And now, like, I talk about like downloads, like I didn't even know what that meant. I didn't meditate back then. And I just loved it so much. It's a really cool name, right? I love that, The Suburban Monk. And so I just knew then I'm going to create something with that name. So I went and I got the domain name and I got the LLC. And it came in the mail on actually June 21st. I wasn't even into all the equinoxes and things like that. And my niece was living with us. And I said, Jesse, I'm like, I have a real business. And she's like, oh, that's great. What's it going to do? And I said, I have no idea. So this is how it started changing. Like, it was so dramatic. And so now I had the domain and I had the LLC. And then I met somebody at a weekend. And so she coached me for a little bit. And I was writing down like things that just brought me joy. And during that time of being laser focused on anything that brought me joy, one of the things were these huge laughing monk statues. And I would dress them up and I would duct tape affirmations to them. Like, they were all over the house. Like, my kids said to my husband, like, should we be worried? It was like, I don't know. She seems really happy. I mean, the mailman, like, I had a different outfit, like every week. He was in the pictures I would take. I would, you know, there would be quotes. I'd send them to my friends for Halloween. I remember walking into this new store and he's like, oh, how old are your kids? And I'm like, oh no, look. And so they became like a real thing in our house. I had them outside in the garage and they would just crack me up. And so I just decided, you know what? I'm going to make my own statue because it was really hard to get clothes on them. And I wanted to put a thumbs up because I love playfulness. I love humor and laughter. And I wanted to combine that with spirituality. Like, for me, it has to be fun. My husband goes to silent retreats, which is great. But like, I need to laugh and I need to. So I still look back and I'm like, really? Why did you think you could create a statue? But at that time, the idea started flowing in and I knew exactly how he would look. And so that became the jumping off point which was creating the statue, which is really more like energy. His name is Sid. And that really became the first part of the Suburban Monk. He is the mascot,
and he's why I fell in love with you before, because I met Sid before I connected with you. And listeners, if you go to thesuburbanmonk.com, you can see Sid in all his glory. You can also, scrolling down my Facebook page, you will also see Sid, because you'll see Sid sitting in the new office chair I built, or Sid coming to San Francisco with me, or there is a kind of a joyful openness in Sid that I don't know if I've ever seen with anything else. Why is he so special? What is it that makes him so special?
You know, I think it's bigger than us. I know this for a fact. And I believe when I first started manufacturing him, I knew nothing. Like, really, you know, I found somebody to sculpt him, and I had all these pictures of how he should look. And then when we got to the end of that process, and I said, okay, this is great. It took like 9 months. I'm like, I'm declaring May 2nd, Sid's birthday. And then he's like, okay, now you need somebody to make a mold for you. And I, really, the first thing I thought of is they've been in my refrigerator. So each step of the way was just like, what? And so somebody did me a favor. I think I ordered once the molds were done, I ordered 800, which was like nothing. But somebody was doing me a favor, and I was on the phone, and I'm like, why pee? I just don't know. They're not perfect. And I looked up, and I'm like, Sid, if you want to be born, you need to help me. And I'm like, I just don't know. I don't know how this is going to work. And we hung up. And in the morning, I think I woke up at 4 in the morning, and there was an email from YP, and he said, Ellen, he said, you know, I make millions of things. He said, I have to tell you, I've never been around an energy like this. You cannot give up. He has to be perfect, and I will keep working with you. So things like that would happen. I mean, he is really special. You know, I'm not just saying that. I believe there's an energy and a spirit in him. And I didn't even want the name Sid. And I just, there's so many parts where he's just so funny. He's like, yeah, I got that. He's looking at me. He's like, yeah, I got that name. I know you didn't want it.
Now, I know we only have a few minutes left together, and I know a big part of the Suburban Monk is, yes, putting Sid out there, and just go on the website, and there's Sid in all his glory grinning at you. And I especially love his feet. I don't know why, but the way he puts his little feet together at the heels, for some reason, gives me crazy joy. When you go to that website, you'll see Sid, and you'll see there are malas on that site that are available for purchase. The Suburban Monk also does a fair amount of giving back to the community and to communities around the world. Can you say a little bit about how what started with your search for your own happiness has now turned into a company that does so much giving to others?
Yeah. Well, that always needed to be a part. For me to create a life that made sense, giving back was always going to have to be a part of it. And so I would, you know, hook up, like when I met somebody at the Susan Komen Foundation, and we partnered for breast cancer that month. That just felt really right. And then like another one, like especially the Valerie Fund with sick children, and I got to gift them all a little Sid. Like, it was, that's just a part of me. But what's really amazing now, like this summer, we have a whole summer fundraiser. And I've been able to bring all the people that have helped me on my journey, like healers and products, and they've donated like $5,000 in offerings. And for $5, people can just bid on things. And we're helping the Samboro Project, and there's a little village in Samboro in Kenya. and for clean water and empowering the women, and the Pastoralist Child Foundation. I was drawing a blank for a second. So the giving part, the giving back part, has just like really blossomed, and it's blossomed in a really fun way. And so it's, yeah, it's just awesome.
How can people get more information about that summer fundraiser?
Just go to thesuburbanmonk.com, and it's right there. thesuburbanmonk.com/auction will take you to the exact page, but either way you can get there. And like literally it's like all the best people and products I know that are, yeah, for just a $5 ticket.
Okay, that is awesome. What would you say to people listening who are maybe listening to this on their lunch hour, sitting at their desk, thinking, yeah, sure, Ellen can do it. Of course she can do it. I can't do anything like that. I don't know what to do next. What would you say to them?
Oh my gosh, if I could do it, there was nothing special about me. If I could do it, you can do it. Just don't, like, when you find that thing that causes so much passion in your body, it will happen. Like, it will happen. Just don't give up. Start before you're ready. And you don't have to quit your job like I did, but, you know, that was my path. And just, it really, if I could do it, you could do it. And you can create a life that makes sense and feels good, and it's really fun to live, which I was able to do.
And that's wonderful. And having that kind of engagement, I think, with your own life path is something that only deepens then over the years. Sometimes those, what we call the normal life, do the same thing every day. You don't really want to, but you feel like you have to, has a feeling of kind of a narrowing of focus. Mm-hmm. But when you're doing something you love, even if you're not doing everything that you love, because it's real life, there's going to be, right, every once in a while you're going to get a splinter or somebody will say a mean thing to you. But when you're doing something that you love and moving forward on that path, it expands and expands and expands and expands the way that you connect with spirit and the way that you connect with your own soul path, your own life path. And that, to me, just listening to you, feels like what you're doing with your work.
Yeah, because, you know, being an accountant, there would be a day that I would have to retire. And this kind of life, you never have to retire. There's always new things you want to learn and create. So it's a very expansive life. And if I didn't have the courage, I just can't believe I wouldn't have experienced all of this.
I read on the website that that you are maybe going to make some outfits for Sid. And I am giddy about that in a way that I'm a little embarrassed to admit. Are you going to make clothes for him, Aria?
Yeah. Oh, and I should say, because, oh my gosh, we have really big news coming out. It's just wild. And so for people, but I can't announce it yet, but for people, if you want to sign up on the newsletter, it's just thesuburbanmonk.com/gift. You also will get 10% off anything you buy, and you will be the first to hear some pretty remarkable news. And so, yes, there are clothes that will come out, but what I'm talking about is something really huge and magical. I can't wait for you to find out.
Oh, I can't wait. Oh, good. I can't wait either. And I won't have to. When I was little, I would take my Barbie dolls and make clothes for them. I'm out of like Kleenex. I'd color the Kleenex and then, you know, stick them over their pointy hands. I won't have to make Kleenex clothes for Sid maybe anymore. Ellen, thank you so much for being on the show. What great fun to talk to you. Thank you.
Thanks, Karen.
That is Ellen Atkins. She is the founder of The Suburban Monk. You can find out more about Ellen, about her work. You can see Sid in all his glory and the other beautiful products that they have on that site at thesuburbanmonk.com. If you go to thesuburbanmonk.com/gift, you can get on their newsletter and get 10% off your first purchase on the site. So that's thesuburbanmonk.com/gift. The summer fundraiser that she was talking about continues. I'm not sure what the end date of that is, but if you go to thesuburbanmonk.com/auction, you'll find out how your $5 gets you in the running for some pretty marvelous prizes and helps to give money to kind of give back the joy that the Suburban Monk brings you. You can help give some of that joy back to other places in the world. So all of that is at thesuburbanmonk.com. And of course, you're always welcome at karenhager.com. It's a great place to find out about upcoming classes and events and what's happening on this radio show. It's also a good place if you're interested in booking a private intuitive session with me. That's where it all begins, karenhager.com. And if you believe as I do that, when we are working with that expanding perception, when we are focused on what makes the world better, what brings us more joy, when we focus on those things, that it really does change the world. If you believe that, I invite you to check out openpeacefulheart.com. When you do that, you'll be able to look at a ton. There's a ton of free guided meditations for you to stream, and you'll get information about the monthly free 15-minute guided meditation call that I run with my wife. And we open that up to people around the world who want to take 15 minutes every month to focus on peace in our hearts and peace in the world. All of that is at openpeacefulheart.com, and I hope you join us. Thank you for listening today. Together, we are spreading a little more light in the world, and a little more light is always a good thing. Until next time, I'm wishing you peace.